Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It is the Paul Zeiss Show. We are talking about your Steelers. And anytime we talk about your Steelers, we like to go to our good friend Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Brian joins us via the fan hotline, which is brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? We are... doing well here tonight. We obviously are talking lots of Steelers. People are excited about it all. But you, first off and foremost, can you give us an idea of what the health of the team is and who's playing and everything based on what you saw participation-wise?
Yeah, it's actually pretty cut and dried this week, Paul. There's really no questions up in the air. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner are going to miss one more week. I don't know if they'll be back for that big Sunday night game against Buffalo the following week. It didn't really sound all that optimistic when we talked to Juju. I don't know if that was yesterday or Wednesday, but he basically said, I'd like to hopefully be back in time to contribute to the playoffs or the regular season, which to me means he's targeting a date probably a little further down the road. And with James Conner, he at least was able to get out there, get limited work and practice all week. So that's a good sign as far as his shoulder goes. But he's also going to be careful with that injury, considering the way that it went when he tried to play through it in Cleveland a few games ago and only lasted about a quarter.
I think that it seems like this, you know, what's weird about those two injuries, Brian, is I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's anybody that really has a good idea or at least is willing to talk about what's going on with those two.
No, yeah, Juju declined to basically say what his knee injury is. And, of course, he, as far as we know, sustained it on the same play that he got concussed against the Browns. And with James Conner, I think it is an AC joint sprain, but one that isn't really healing as fast as he would have hoped. And he obviously wants to avoid surgery, and I can't blame him. I think every player pretty much does want to avoid going under the knife, but I don't think either one of those guys is dealing with a pain tolerance issue from what they've said. It's more of dealing with stuff that you're really risking re-injuring it and making it worse on yourself if you try to play through it.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing I will say is this team, slowly but surely, for instance with receivers, slowly but surely, they've all gotten a little bit better each week and have started to make, progress and make plays. So even though Juju has been out, you know, I think that the receiving core is finally shaping up and looking like something that could become a team strength down the stretch.
Yeah, who knew that all James Washington needed to break out was just all of a sudden be the number one target, the number one receiver for this team, and obviously kind of drawing the most attention from opposing defenses. I expect that will only continue, given the fact that he's got a touchdown in two straight games. I mean, Deontay Johnson has been a little bit disappointing lately and inconsistent, three consecutive games with three or fewer catches for him. So you'd like to see him kind of get back on track, but maybe he's hit that rookie wall somewhat. And Deion Kane, when called upon, has mostly been able to do his part. Same goes for Tevin Jones. I think both of those guys have clearly been an upgrade over Johnny Holton. And obviously, from way back when, Dante Moncrief, who was actually waived today by the Carolina Panthers. So it has been a 2019 to forget for Dante Moncrief.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was Ed Bouchette tweeted something to the effect of, he had zero catches for 0 yards and was not targeted, and he only played in like 25 plays over like four games for them. So clearly didn't get it done for them either.
Yeah, I mean, he was active as their fourth receiver the past few weeks, but they weren't looking. Kyle Allen wasn't looking his way, so he's back on the free agent market. If any team wants to get a rental player for this final quarter of the season coming down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, the running game, Brian, if you look at the running backs and things, I really think that the Steelers need to continue to try and feed Benny Snell a little bit more each week and sort of make him the runner. It just seems like he gets downhill. He gives them what they're looking for.
Yeah, he's been better at that aspect of it than Jalen Samuels for sure. Snell's been a more physical, more powerful runner, I think, although Samuels did bowl a guy over against the Browns the other day. I mean, that was one of the better finishes to a run I've seen from 38 in a while. I still think those two can be a 1-2 punch that is productive and fairly reliable as long as James Conner is out. And when I say reliable, I don't just mean necessarily moving the pile if you're Benny Snell or pulling in your targets. If you're Jalen Samuels, that's what each of those guys are good at. But they haven't been fumbling. Jalen Samuels had that one earlier in the season, the same game that he caught 57 passes or whatever. But those guys have both been good in terms of ball security and also pass protection, which you never know what you're going to get out of first and second year running backs on that front. And both of those guys, I think, have been okay. Snell kind of missed one, was a little late getting around the other day that resulted in Devlin Hodges having to get flushed out of the pocket. But Samuels has definitely been solid in pass pro.
Yeah, I think that it's been pretty amazing, Brian, over the last 3 weeks, just to sort of see this offense come together a little bit.
Yeah, it has. I mean, they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. It's tied together with, one might say, duct tape. I will say duct tape.
Oh,
I mean,
Devlin
Hodges. You don't like that one, Paul?
Yeah, here we go. Go ahead.
Devlin Hodges is, I don't know, he's brought this mystical spark that no one can really seem to make a whole lot of sense of, but obviously he's playing loose, he's playing free, and that's kind of trickling down to all the other guys. I mean, even someone like Kareth White, who no one really knew anything about before he joined this team, maybe they'll have to get more creative and find ways to get him involved in that backfield rotation. He's obviously more of a home run hitter than Jalen Samuels or Benny Snell. So it's a unit right now that's probably playing, more like the whole than the sum of its parts. And that's probably not hard to do when a lot of those parts are no-name guys or people who were on free agent squad, practice squads not too long ago.
We're talking with Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette. Brian covers the Steelers. Brian, what can you tell us about the Cardinals? I know they've got a pretty bad defense. Don't seem to be very good against the pass. They've got a quarterback who, I think he's got some real skill set to him, and he's pretty athletic. I mean, what really can you tell us about the Cardinals?
Yeah, they're not very good. They're obviously rebuilding, don't have anything to play for at this point. I mean, the first year for Cliff Kingsbury has not been all that productive on the field. I mean, they cut a defensive back, Tremaine Brock, who played like 75% of the snaps for them last time out against the Rams. Jared Goff threw for more than 400 yards, so they basically said, okay, Mr. Brock, you can kind of leave now, and we'll try someone younger at that spot. So they're really just trying to figure it out, especially defensively. I mean, they have only allowed 3 100-yard rushers, but I think they've allowed at least 100 yards rushing total in every game but one. So they're not doing a whole lot there other than pressuring the passer. Chandler Jones has 13 sacks. He's been a beast. But, the other side of the ball, I mean, Kyler Murray has taken care of the ball pretty well. I mean, I think they only have 9 turnovers this year, which you wouldn't expect from a 3-8-1 team. But they just haven't really been able to establish the run. And I don't know that this Big 12 pass-happy RPO play-action offense is working all that well just yet for them.
Yeah, I said that I did not think Cliff Kingsbury would get to year 3. What he wants to do is just not going to work. And also, I didn't think he lit the world on fire in college. What I mean, am I crazy? I mean, I know that they have won a game or two, but they, you know, a few games. But to me, I think that was a bad hire.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you that he won't get to year 3, just because they're clearly investing in this idea a little bit between, you know, hiring him and then using the number one pick on a pretty unique player in Kyler Murray to kind of run that offense. But to your point, yeah, I think a lot of people were dumbfounded by that hire. I mean, he wasn't even a sitting head coach anymore at the Power 5 level. I mean, he got fired from Texas Tech and was going to go be the offensive coordinator at USC, and then all of a sudden Arizona turns around and wants to make him the head coach of an NFL team. It was a huge risk, and we'll see if it pays off in the end. But obviously year one is not incredibly promising yet for them, and who knows? It would seem a lot different if they would be able to come out and beat a Steelers team at home that is right in the thick of it for the playoff race.
Brian, great stuff as always, and I really appreciate you taking some time to join us. Will you be making the trek out west?
I will not. I'll be holding it down here for Team Post-Gazette. So Jerry and Dulac and Ray Fittipaldo will be out there. Make sure to follow those guys.
All right. We will do that. We will follow you, too, as well.
thanks,
so,
Paul. Appreciate
yes,
it.
Exactly. So thanks, Brian. That's Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.